Want a better way to hire? We asked businesses across Australia.
We trialled Liam through Youth Jobs Path and then hired him as a design assistant. Liam is so keen to learn. He gets along with everyone and we get help with wage and training costs.
Louise gave me a go and now I've got a job.
Yeah, it worked for us.
To find motivated young staff and get up to $10,000 in assistance, search Youth Jobs Path. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra. Spoken by Jay Green, L. Nobes and L. Nicolau.
Today is Sydney Swans Membership Day on 11.16 SEN. Be there in the moments that matter with three-game memberships starting at $63. Head to membership.sydneyswans.com.au to sign up. We're heading to Sydney. The Swans Chief Executive, Andrew Ireland, is with us. Andrew, welcome to 11.16
SEN. Thanks, Gerard. Thanks for your support of our membership drive.
This is your last season in the job, Andrew. Has it been at all different entering 2018, knowing that the handover to Tom Harley is planned?
No, not really. I think there's so much on in footy clubs. You're sort of very much in the moment. I know the media, you know, talk about players saying it's week by week, but I've got to say, in this business, there's so much happening that you get occupied with it. I'm really fortunate. I love being involved in footy. I've been very fortunate to have spent my time post-playing in the VFL in an administrative role and really love it. But I know, I think as a CEO, part of your responsibility is to make sure that if you're running a good club, you try to make sure you look into the future as well. And I'm sure Tom's going to do a fantastic job taking over at Christmas time.
So you've both got demands this year. Do you spend much time together on that handover during the course of the season?
We work really closely together, I guess, in a general sense anyway, but we're very conscious of the fact that the head of footy role is a really busy position at the best of times. And whilst, I guess, in an ideal world, you'd like to transition quite a bit of the business across during the last year, in reality, I don't think that will happen. The last thing I'd want is John Longmire to think that he's got a part-time head of footy. And one of the reasons I'll stay through to Christmas is the biggest transition will happen once the season finishes and through the period of the draft. But hopefully by Christmas time, Tom's got a good feel for it. He sits in, obviously, in our senior management, but we've also got a strategy group that work about around the general business. So he's got a great feel for how the whole of the business works as well.
And your involvement with footy, Andrew, have you decided what that looks like after Christmas or what you've just outlined? And, you know, it's a life lived in footy. Is that coming to an end?
No, the club have asked me to stay on the board, which I'll do. And they've also asked me to do a bit of consultancy work for them. So I'll do that for at least the next 2 years. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also conscious of making sure that I'll give Tom the space as a new CEO to do what he wants to do. So there's clearly a need to sort of be out of his head, but the club are keen for me to stay involved. So I'll sort of do that from the background. Yep.
You've always had a keen eye towards the big picture, Andrew, and I guess your narrow experience in the pre-season, Kurt Tippett retired, Sam Naismith with a knee injury, and you are short-stocked for Ruckman. What do you think, what would you like to see happen that would allow you in future to be able to address such a scenario before a season started or within a season?
Yeah, I must admit, Gerard, I'm a bit conflicted with this. Because I have been around so long, I actually was there when there used to be a mid-season draft. And I've got to say, I don't think it was great. At that stage, you had to get rid of players to bring players in. And so I'm not quite sure how they envisage the rules would work, because I assume if you haven't got salary cap space, you couldn't do it. I can't work out how clubs could sit above the cap by bringing players in. So generally I've had a view that I probably wouldn't support it.
Yep.
You get pretty focused when you lose a couple of ruckmen, but maybe there are circumstances where you'd like to be able to address it. But how they do it without really compromising the competition, I think, is an interesting question. I noticed a journalist the other day talked about, in our circumstance, what if, say, North Melbourne or any club wanted to trade a ruckman out for a first-round draft pick during the year and agreed to continue to pay that player because they had the salary cap space. I'm not sure that other clubs would think it fair that the Swans had an extra good player on your list which sat outside the cap.
Yep.
So that's the part, I think that's the toughest part of how you address it.
Was your view back in the day that the mid-season draft was, what, too disruptive to clubs?
I reckon, my view was it was too disruptive, and for the most part at that time, I didn't see a lot of gain in it. There weren't too many players you picked up in the mid-year draft that actually made an impact. You know, guys even who were playing in, say, the next level down and might have been flying, it was disruptive for that club because they lost them out of the domestic system. And realistically, when a player moved, it took them a while to settle in. Clearly, guys off other AFL lists would be different. And I might have had a pretty poor experience because at that stage, I was with Brisbane in its formative years. I'd be fair to say probably not too many good players wanted to move to Brisbane then anyway.
Yep, yep.
So it might not have been a true indicator.
One of the threads after Sam Naismith did his knee was, is there any possibility that Kurt Tippett could come back later in the year after a period of rest?
Look, I guess we've been asked this question a bit. In a theoretical sense, he's still on our list, so theoretically he could. The reality is it took Kurt quite a bit of time to come to the conclusion to retire. I don't think he'd have the... I think once you make that call, almost that footy isn't the key thing for you. And clearly he had a major ankle operation to get over. I guess our view is we focus on the ruckman we've got. Callum Sinclair's rucked for us well in the past and clearly will have the starting opportunity to do that. Young Darcy Cameron. But I think by the end of it, and it's interesting how football changes, by the end of last year, we played a number of games where we only played one ruckman. We had someone like Dean Towers rucked. I know when we played Richmond at the MCG, given they only had Toby Nankervis in the ruck, we made a deliberate decision only to play one ruckman so that we could match them with mobility. So, you know, sometimes these sort of unfortunate circumstances mean that you have to adapt to what's happening, and it might be Aaliyah might get a chance to ruck,
yep.
Dean probably as well. And I think, logically, if you haven't got a lot of ruckmen, then you're probably going to need to go to another model, which probably is more around mobility.
Tippett was such a big signing at the time, Andrew, and it wasn't smooth going. We know how all of that unfolded. Five seasons and 74 games. And obviously Franklin wasn't on the horizon when the Tippett deal was done. Is when you reflect on it, was it less than you hoped it was going to be?
Yes. Look, I think Kurt would agree as well in terms of, he got to the club. I've got to say, I don't think... the injuries, I mean, he played in two grand finals. So if you talk about playing in a period and helping us get to what you want to do, he certainly did that. A couple of bad injuries certainly didn't help him. You know, I think people do forget about 18 months ago, in the first half of the year, most people were saying that he was probably favourite to be the All-Australian ruckman and had played a lot of good footy. Got hurt that year and then ended up with a broken jaw in the finals. Had a bad run. But at the end of the day, you know, when you go to try and recruit players, you're hoping that they can play their best footy. And it'd be fair to say that for a lot of reasons, Kurt wasn't able to do that. But by the same token, I think when you're in a footy club, the reality is you have to make decisions and live and die by those decisions. To me, you're better to make the decision and see how it goes than actually not try to do something.
Yeah.
Our clear obligation to our members and to our players, especially the players who only have a small career, has always been, let's try our best to get the best team we can together to give us the best chance of success in finals. And That means making decisions and being aggressive when you've got the opportunity to.
And Andrew, as there's been so much talk about the re-recorded songs, the digitised versions, what are the Swans doing with a new song or the old?
Well, it just shows you, Jared, I've got no idea. And, and that's about where I reckon it rates me
yes.
at the moment. I haven't heard we're going to be using anything new, so I suspect it's the old one. I do understand listening to Gil, you need digital recordings, and if you, the old ones are in analogue, some stage you need to re-record it. So I think it's a small issue in the bigger scheme of things for football.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. It is a kerfuffle. Good on you, Andrew. Good to chat, and we'll talk right throughout the year, I'm sure.
Great, Jared. Thank you.
Andrew Ireland, the chief executive of the Sydney Swans, on membership day here on 1116 SEN. Three-game membership starting at $63. You can head to membership.sydneyswans.com.au.